I can get you to grab the wireless mics, I'm going to have you use those because this service is going to be interactive since there's so many of us here today. And what that means is as an interactive service, it means that you get to be a part of the action, interaction. Okay, and so here's what we're going to do is just so that we can kind of do this in a little different way that we don't get to do when we have a couple hundred people on a Sunday morning. I'm going to read the scripture this morning, and then I want you to participate in thinking through the scripture that we're going to talk about. I tried to talk some of the students into coming up here, and I was just going to set up a bunch of chairs, and we were going to have a little panel discussion, and they said no way. And so that means that all of us get to participate. So here's what I want to do is I want to read the scripture that we're going to be in today from Luke chapter 1. And I want to see how many observations that we can come up with as a church family that's sitting here. Now, we need to use the microphones because there could be as many as 50 people that are watching via live stream right now. We've had that many one other time. Usually we don't have that many because most of us are here. But there are a lot of people that are watching via the internet right now. And so it's just one of those things. I know that this is a little bit out of the comfort zone and things like that. And some of you don't mind a bit being in front of the mic. And so so I want to encourage those that are a little less mic friendly to kind of step out of your little box. This is a great time to do it. There's only 35 of us, maybe. And just tell me what you observe as we walk through this passage together. So we're going to put the passage on the screen. But tell me your observations. What are the things that you see that maybe you haven't noticed before? What are the things that you notice about the conversation that happens? What do you notice about the response of the individual in this passage that's being addressed? Is there anything that surprises you? Is there anything that should surprise us? Especially since we know the Christmas story so well that sometimes we forget to continue to be surprised. And so we're going to read it together. It's in Luke chapter 1, and it starts in verse 26. So here's what it says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greetings this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So what are the things that you notice when we read through that? Is there anything that surprises or should be surprising that maybe we forget to be surprised about? Anything that you noticed in particular? She accepted it. Okay. Anyone else? I repeated it. We'll let you get away with it. Okay.
Okay, that she accepted it immediately.
She accepted it immediately.
She just accepted it.
Why would that be surprising? Yeah. It's okay.
I think it'd be surprising because if something like that was to happen to me, I wouldn't do it because it would be really scary to me as to why there is a weird ghost in my house telling me that I was going to have
why
a child.
Why is there a weird ghost in my house?
That would
we call them angels,
me.
By the way. That's okay. Thanks, Xavier, for stepping out and letting me make fun of you. I won't make fun of everyone else, okay? Now I'm embarrassed. I should. Anyone else? Any other observation?
I'm just going to say that, you know, for Mary, if you could try to put yourself in her place, all this immediately upon her, and yet she didn't question it.
Yeah.
Like she accepted it. Like Elaine said, she accepted it. But when you think about yourself, like Xavier said, how would you react?
Exactly.
How would you? And, you know, I was sitting here when we were singing that song, and how much did it cost on that cross? How much did it cost for us to be redeemed?
Yeah.
We don't think of that a lot of times. And, you know, I get so ashamed of myself because I fall away sometimes.
Yeah.
I fall away, and I'm not what I'd like to be as a Christian man.
Yeah.
But I come back. Yeah. I always come back. And the Lord never leaves us.
Yeah.
And it's always there. And so it's an amazing story, and it's for many, it's an unbelievable story. They can't wrap their heads around it. And sometimes I think it's a detriment as far as accepting the faith, because if you're going to be a Christian, a true Christian, you're going to have to believe in the supernatural.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way. So, you know what? This Christmas, I feel especially blessed. I feel encouraged as an American.
Yeah.
I feel encouraged, you know, the way the people spoke up in this country for the good.
Yeah.
And it's been such a blessing to see how we've reacted in this nation. And I almost think that there's a drift toward more positive, good things in this country. As a result. And I'm not going to get political, believe me, but I'm going to say Merry Christmas, and I always have, but there's a lot of folks saying Merry Christmas anymore in this country that were scared to do it before.
Yeah.
So, okay. Hey, you know, I've said enough. Thank you.
I was just going to say the thing that really rocks my world is the fact that the empowering of the Holy Spirit is the same that we have available to us.
Yeah.
That is just, you know, shows the love of God that he has for us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is crazy.
Yeah.
That same spirit we have available to us.
Let me ask the moms in here, is it easier to see Mary's perspective as a mother? Because those of us who are men might see this a little differently. Do you think men and women, when you really read this passage and you look at just the consequences of this message, does a female or does a mom see this a little bit differently than a man? Favored, yeah. In fact, is that it was hard for her to accept it, to be called favored one. But it's interesting to think about, because I don't know. If you're a young mom or not even a mom, if you're a young person who's not expecting to be a mom to be, and all of a sudden you're told that you're a mom to be, because I don't know. To me, is that means a different thing to a woman than a man, because we don't experience childbirth or the significance of childbirth in the same way. So, any other observations? Clint.
I think one of the interesting things is just her presence of mind and her response. I mean, just how logical does it get? You got an angel sitting in your room and say, well, gee, I'm a virgin. I mean, it seems like there was about 50 other questions I would have asked before we got to that point. But the fact that woman could sit and just have that kind of conversation, it's unbelievable for me, and it takes me back to wondering how spiritual she must have been and sensitive she must have been to maintain herself. I just can't imagine that happening and not kind of falling apart and having a jillion questions other than to sit and say, okay, well, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Deb.
Verse 35 really stands out to me. the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.
Yeah.
Well, if we're in Christ, then the Holy Spirit is also upon us.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to worry so much about whether we're being, you know, so perfect, because he will overshadow us.
That's good. That's good. Okay, back in the corner. Hope.
What I was really, literally just struck by as everybody was talking was the verse where he said, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. And it hit me that he gave her someone so that she wasn't alone.
Yeah.
A friend, someone she knew, someone she was close with, had also been blessed by a miracle because Elizabeth was barren. And so he gave her someone to be with, that she could go to, that she could talk to, so that she was not alone. And first-time mothers, I think that's huge. For from a mother perspective, to have someone else just a little bit ahead of you to say, no, it's okay, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But only to help her accept the miracle that had happened to her, because Elizabeth had already dealt with these feelings. She had already dealt with the miracle that had been given to her. But to be a guide for this young, unwed mother whose world had just completely changed in every way, shape, and form. And God tells us he'll never leave us alone. And of course, that means he's always with us. But at the same time, I think that he also gave her someone here that on earth that could be with her and help her.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it interesting just to kind of think about the different observations? And I bet you that if we were to take down and write down all of our observations, I bet you we would be surprised at how many things we can observe when we really dig into the story. And, you know, we've been talking about for the last several weeks is that the gifts that come, the gifts that God gives us in Christmas, or we've been talking about the meaning of Christmas, and today we're going to talk about the gifts that come to us in Christmas and how to respond to them, but we've been talking about how God has come to us, that God took on humanity for us. We've talked about God's light coming into the darkness. We've talked about the peace and the reconciliation that are God's heart and mind for us. And these are the things that God gives us in Christmas. The question then becomes is how do we respond to what he gives? And we have this really neat example for us in Scripture, the example of Mary. Is how do we respond to what he gives? And we have a picture of how one responded. We have pictures throughout Scripture of how people responded to the work of God, but we actually have this response about Christmas. And there's a sense in which is that we can look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, for direction on how to respond. But it is interesting because I think it was Clint that said, she responded in a very realistic way. It's just a very real way. In fact, there's two words that are used there. Is when the angel first approached her and made his announcement, it says that she was troubled. And then it says that she was, essentially, she was thoughtful. And the word that's used there is the word discern. And so it says that she tried to discern what the angel meant, because twice he said, you are highly favored. And it troubled her, and it moved her to being very thoughtful. And the word discern there is actually a financial term in the original language. It means to count, to assess, and to measure. So she tried to understand. She tried to measure what the meaning behind the angel's announcement was. She was troubled when he said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And now we know a lot of things about Mary from the book of Luke. Luke tells us some very specific things about her that are really marvelous things. Like we're told that she's faithful. We're told that she's favored. She's a model believer, and that she takes God at his word. And she's also obedient. I mean, that's pretty incredible just in and of itself. But it's interesting to me because despite all of these qualities, despite everything that's good about Mary, it's because of his grace and his love and his mercy that he comes to her not because of any ability that she had inside of her to make things happen. I mean, you think about her ability to make things happen, and it's really pretty limited because she is a teenager. She's unmarried. She's living in poverty. And she's experiencing the same troubles that all of the rest of us are. She's affected by the world's brokenness in the way that the rest of us are. Now, certainly she was a model believer, but she was also just as much in the need of God's grace as the rest of us. And the fact that she found favor with God makes it clear that God acted on her behalf, not because of her. And that just, to me, is encouraging to me, is because what that says is that God acts on our behalf, not because we have anything necessarily to give or anything inherent within us that makes it possible for us to do unbelievable, mighty things for God. Because God doesn't look at us in the way that we look at each other. Sometimes we look at each other and we look at what people can do for us, or we look at their ability to lead, and we look at the way that they look and how much money they have and how much power they have and all of the things that they can do. But we're told in Scripture is that God doesn't look at external appearances, and he doesn't look at our bank accounts, or he doesn't look at even our ability to be perfect or even really, 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 really good. Is that when he comes and invites us into his plan, it's because of his grace and because of his love and because of his mercy. And so Mary responds, and she's troubled, and she tries to figure it out. And even faithful people can do that. Even people of faith can respond to God and be a little bit unsettled by his message, and also try to dig into it and discern what's going on. Try to measure it out. Try to get an account of it. And there are other individuals in Scripture who did the same thing. Although other individuals in Scripture were a little bit more resistant to the idea of God being able to use them. And so you have Moses, for example. And when God came to Moses and said, "You're going to go and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And he's like, I stutter. That's not going to happen. And God says, "Yeah, it is. I'll give you a mouthpiece. I'll give you someone to talk for you." He's like, I tried that once before. You remember how that worked? He said, "Yeah, that's the key. You tried it once before. Now I'm going to direct the show. Well, I still don't feel comfortable getting up in front of a group." "That's okay. I didn't say that you had to be comfortable. I just said that you have to go." And then there's Gideon also. Gideon in the book of Judges, as God comes to him, and it's hard to find an individual that on the one hand is striking and has abilities, but on the other hand is so unable. And Gideon tests the Lord so many times by laying out fleeces. And so in Scripture, we have other individuals that maybe were wondering and also very resistant to the plan of God. But God still came to him just by his grace. And with Mary, certainly we see a model of faithfulness. But in the midst of being a model for faithfulness, we still have very real wondering, very real feelings of being troubled at what the message of the Lord might mean, and a very real act of discernment that's going on. And she's trying to figure it out. So maybe, I would say that most of us probably feel tentative sometimes about the Lord's will for our life. Not necessarily because we don't believe it or because we don't want it, but just because there is a little bit of tentativity there. Maybe we're tentative because of our own inadequacies. Maybe we're tentative because of our own failures, because we know how many times we've sinned or how many times we've failed. Or maybe we're tentative because of our gifting or our lack thereof. And I think that we see a little bit of that in Mary. That how can this be? How can it be that I'm favored? How can it be? Because what you're explaining to me doesn't make sense, because it defies what's natural. I'm a virgin. And yet God brings Mary into his plan. I assume is that when you think about the angel coming to Mary, is that she was as shocked as any of us would be. You can see that. And not only that, but everything in Mary's upbringing would have conditioned her away from any sense of the idea that God would use a woman in this way. Because you look in Scripture, and it's not that God didn't use women, because God did, but in general, far more often, it's God using men. And so everything would have conditioned her against the idea of God using her, or that this birth could happen apart from a natural way of conception. How can this be? I'm a virgin. And so it's interesting, because she asks a question, and do you notice that there's no displeasure from God when she asks this question? There's no sign at all that God was displeased with her asking this question. But earlier, in the same passage or in the same chapter, there's another individual that asks a question that's similar to, how could this be? We're told that in Luke 1, verse 8 and following, it says, "Now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John.'" And then just skipping down to verse 18. "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time.'" What's the difference? And this is one that you can interact on. What's the difference between what Mary did and what Zechariah did? Anyone?
I don't think Zechariah was one of those guys to kind of just take things on. I think he was kind of more hesitant as far as accepting everything, because Mary was just like, "Yeah, let's do it." And Zechariah was like, "Whoa, let's talk about this for a second." So I don't think that Zechariah was one of those ones that kind of just embraced it all. I think he was kind of hesitant at first and said, "This all seems kind of sketchy to me right now. I need some time to think about it."
That's awesome, Xavier. Thanks. Hope.
Yeah. I think that it wasn't happening to Zechariah. It was happening to his wife. He was a messenger. So I think that the question was natural. I think the questions were natural for both of them. But from my perspective, if it's actually happening to me, if I'm the one going through it, like Mary was going through it, it would be a different sense of questioning compared to Zechariah.
So the difference is he's saying, what, Lord? She's old.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
We're old. What? Could you repeat that question, please? And Mary was young and still in a place of complete disbelief as she's being told this. But it was the angel telling her what was going to happen and transpire in her life and fulfilling prophecy. And Zechariah was, it was just a different perspective that he was hearing it from. He had to go home and tell his wife, hey, you're going to have a baby. And that's just the way it's going to be. So,
yeah. You know, you think about it, because what kind of wondering is God just okay with? And what kind of questioning would bring about his correction? And then where do we fall? Go ahead.
I think that it shows a very real example of our hearts in these situations. I think if you look at Zechariah, there's an understanding that it might not just be a question of can this, but in the heart, that question, you see the same question for both, but what's the difference is for Mary, there's no way it can happen to her but for God. But for Zechariah's heart, as a priest, as a man of God, he also bears the question of, if it's not mine, because I have not been able to bring forth the son till now,
oh yeah,
it could be somebody else's. So I think we see that natural question, that bearing forth of the penalty of not Mary's was more of, okay, now what? Like, she accepted it.
Yeah.
It was, if this is going to happen, then how does it play out? You know, how are people going to know? I'm engaged. She understood it. But for Zechariah, I think it was a question. I think it became a real question of the heart. Like, what were the motives behind the question?
Yeah.
What was the motive behind him asking that of God? So you see.
So it's interesting because you have essentially is a very similar question from the two. But one is saying it this way. How can this be? The other one's saying, how can this be? Do you see the difference? Go ahead.
So I was kind of thinking about it, and was Zechariah maybe older and set in his ways, and was Mary more teachable? And so maybe she had more of a teachable spirit, and that kind of made it more easier for her to accept, where sometimes when we get older and kind of set in our ways,
Are you talking about me now?
We might just kind of... not be so teachable or so accepting, like when God speaks to us or through other people. And I mean, sometimes we see that with just human nature. So,
exactly. Clint. Oh, this is taking on a life of its own.
No, but it's good. I mean, I think the youth in here, I think there's a lesson here. Because, you look at David.
Yeah.
Three stones and a sling. You know what? Yeah. What's the problem here? Let's just go take this bad boy. Whereas everybody else is sitting there processing it, saying because of wisdom or whatever you want to say, time. And in a sense, you know, today these young kids can probably step out on the mission field. Whereas you get older, you start saying, "Oh, now wait a minute. You know, can I do that?"
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of youth. So to these people's point, that's a good lesson today.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting to note is that both of these individuals were believers. Zechariah was a believer. That's not a question. His salvation is not a question. Mary's a believer. And yet, even believers can have different responses. We can be in different places when it comes to receiving the word of the Lord. And it helps us to kind of say, hey, where are we at? Because sometimes we can receive the word of the Lord by saying, hey, wait a minute. I don't know that that's possible. And sometimes we can receive the word of the Lord by saying, hey, how can that be? I'd sure love to know. I want to know how that can be. And there's a difference, because I think that it's that difference between skepticism and openness. And so faith doesn't mean a lack of thoughtfulness, as I think that we can see from this passage, is that it doesn't mean a lack of thoughtfulness. It doesn't mean that we stop thinking or stop rationalizing or stop asking questions. Now, certainly we need to guard against how we respond to the word of the Lord, because we can respond with sarcasm or skepticism. So skepticism says, that's not possible. Sarcasm says, how's that possible? With more of a, how's that even gonna happen? Thoughtfulness says, how can this be? It's a seeking to understand kind of question. It's how can it be? I want to understand. How can that be? But it's not a question that dismisses or disbelieves. And so Mary is trying to understand the possibility of it. The barrier that she faced against the Christmas message was a very real barrier. In fact, her barrier against the Christmas message was every bit as big as the barriers that you and I face against the Christmas message. She was troubled. She reasoned it through. She tried to discern it. She tried to measure it out. She tried to weigh it. And as far as we know, in fact, I think that we can confidently say is that there was no disapproval from God. And it's not always the case, because in Zechariah's situation, there was disapproval. And so what's the difference? What's the difference between the way that Mary responded and the way that Zechariah responded? And we have two responses as we have this response where Mary was thoughtful. And because she was thoughtful, she was open to the truth. But she was also willing to relinquish sovereignty over her own life. There's Zechariah, and his doubts actually might have been because he was trying to stay in control. That doesn't make sense. There's no way. That would really be awkward at our age. So, in fact, it's just downright impossible. And you know, sometimes our doubts just help us to stay in control, because what would happen if we actually let God have his way? What would it mean to every aspect of our lives? To the way that we parent, to the way that we do media, to the way that we do life, to the way that we treat other people? What would it mean if we actually relinquished total control, the sovereignty of our own lives? With Mary is that she was thoughtful, and there was a process, there were stages by which she came to the point of saying, your will be done. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. She's not saying that she understands all of the details. She's not even saying that it all makes sense. She's just saying is, I'm your servant. Let it be to me as you have said. I wonder what that looks like for our lives today. I wonder what it looks like. The interesting thing is, and we can just, we could go on and on about this, but what does it look like to relinquish control and say, Lord, I'm your servant. Let it be to me as you have said. What does obedience look like? You know, the truth is that in the same way that Mary had to say is okay, let it be to me as you have said. Let your Messiah be born to me. And it's so interesting to me, because there's so many metaphors in Scripture that talk about birth as being the start of the Christian life. New birth. A birth that's in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. It says that we must be born again by the work of God. There's a Christmas carol that we sing. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. So, is God just your consultant? Or is he your Lord? Because there's a difference. If God's just our consultant, then we're just kind of getting some advice from him once in a while. But if he's Lord, then it means saying, I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said. So we're going to end as I'm going to invite Kyle, and he's going to close us out this morning. And thanks for being here. While Kyle closes us out, I'm going to light the Advent candle. And the Advent candle is just this remembering of Jesus coming to us. And the candles represent just different aspects of the Advent season, whether it's love, hope, joy, peace. And so today we're going to do this. This would be the way that we close.
We're going to sing this, or just sing over you this Mary, Did You Know song. And just in reference to what Brian said, maybe we could take time to examine our lives and say, you know, are we living in faith? And then God, with whatever you're calling me to, are my expectations big enough? Like, can you work through this? So just take this for just a time of reflection to hear from the Lord and to talk to him. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make us new? And this child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss that little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind would see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame would leap, the dumb would speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And that sleeping child you're holding is the great I. Great I am.
This is fun. Let's stand and pray. Lord, it's good for us to have it gathered together today. And Father, it's just absolutely amazing to me, Lord, that you work in the way that you do. And Lord, when we read scripture and when we look into the life of Mary, we see someone who is so much further along than we are. So thoughtful, yes. So willing. But Lord, we don't want to place her on so much of a pedestal as to recognize the difficulty of the announcement to her, and that she went through a process of wondering, trying to figure it out, trying to know how to respond. And then responding, probably not with every question answered. But Lord, she realized that she was being drawn into your great big plan. And she didn't have all of the answers, and she didn't know what the future would hold, but she still said, I am your servant, may it be to me as you have said. And Lord, I wonder what that looks like in our world today. Lord, I just wonder what it looks like for me. What would it look like for us to just totally submit and say, Lord, I'm your servant. And I know that there's going to be consequences to that. And there will be times where that will be a huge celebration. And there will be times where that will mean pain and alienation. But ultimately, Lord, being a part of your plan sweeps us up into everything that you have done in the past and everything that you will do now and everything that you are going to do in the future, and that there will be a day when your son will come and that there will be a trumpet call and all of your people will be called up into the air with him. And Lord, we look forward to that day and we say, come Jesus, come. But Father, today, help us to live faithful lives, thoughtful lives, and lives where we ultimately come to the point of saying, Lord, I'm yours. May it be to me as you have directed. Lord, bless this church family, bless our community, and be with us as we go today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.